Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We are here to rejoice and to be glad in it. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you join us, especially on a day like today, that you have braved the elements to be here. And especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, welcome. Those of us who are here week in and week out would like to meet you, shake your hand, let you know why we're here and why you might find a home here as well. So if you don't find someone coming to you to shake your hand, you find someone you don't know and shake their hand. And hopefully we will all get to know each other before long. One way you get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation is to look through our bulletin inserts. You'll find a couple in the bulletin, and there is bound to be one way at least that you can become involved. I'm going to lift up just a few things today, but they're all important. First of all, this morning our youth continue to prepare for the 30-hour famine. It will take place this coming Friday and Saturday. If you would like to learn more about that or offer support for our youth in doing that, there's a table in Reed Hall. After this service, you're welcome to go out there and visit with the youth about why they're doing this, what they hope to accomplish, etc. Don't forget that our Lenten lunch and concert series is every Thursday during Lent at noon. It's helpful if you sign up for lunch by Wednesday, so we'll know how much to prepare. But that's every Thursday during Lent, concert at noon, lunch immediately following. And also, our group of women connecting with each other will meet at Fido for coffee on February 24th. That's from 10 a.m. until noon. Did you ever go someplace and you didn't know what was expected of you? Maybe visiting a new church. You're not familiar exactly with how they do things? Well, today, Micah is clear about what God expects of us: to do justice, to act in kindness, and to walk humbly with our God.
People of God, who do you come to worship?
We come to worship the one true God.
How will you worship?
Not with words alone, but by living lives of justice and love.
Come, you who belong to God.
Come and abide in God's heart, now and forever.
Happy are those whose sin is forgiven, who no longer suffer in silence, but name their sin and seek God's grace. Let us confess our sin. Far too often, O God, God has called us and blesses us when we live God's ways and not the world's. God's love embraces us even when we fall short of what God desires for our lives and actions. Know that the God of blessing loves and forgives us with a fierce tenderness, and in so knowing, may our lives and souls be transformed.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Kathy Whalen, and I have the great privilege of working with the wonderful people named in the bulletin insert on the Missions and Outreach Committee, and with Lisa Guak, who serves as the pastor of Missions and Outreach. As our first task for the year, the Missions and Outreach Committee met for several hours to review, prayerfully consider, and make decisions about which organizations West End will support financially in the coming year, what we call partner organizations. In reviewing the grant requests, we used criteria that have been developed over the years, including the organization's connection to the Methodist Church, the connection to this particular church, and involvement by West End members. All the grant recipients will be listed in the next newsletter, and I encourage you to take a look. Last fall, our discipleship focus was on stewardship through the Legacy Campaign. We gathered and prayed and ultimately made a commitment to give back to God through our tithes and offerings. We are delighted that the discipleship focus for Lent is on service. During this time, we will have the chance to learn, pray, and ponder about what God is calling us to in terms of service in the world. Information about our partner organizations will be included in the bulletin inserts throughout Lent according to the themes of social justice, homelessness, poverty, and hunger, education, health, global outreach, and incarceration and recovery. There will be many opportunities to learn more about these service areas, including participating in Current on Wednesday evenings, undertaking the family Lenten experience as described in the Lenten brochure, and participating in the Great Day of Service on March 28th, when hopefully 200 West End members and friends will have the chance to volunteer with several of our partner organizations. We know many of you are already doing amazing work in the world, living out our mission to be the loving light of Christ, and we want to hear about that. We want to know whether you're working with one of our partner organizations or another group. In a couple of weeks, there will be a bulletin board in Reed Hall where you can mark your place within the six topic areas I just mentioned. And then in May, we will all have the opportunity to commit to serve in the community and the world, similar to the way that we pledged our financial gifts in the fall. We have selected one of our newer partner organizations, Promise for Haiti, as the recipient of a special mission offering during Lent. Promise for Haiti runs a hospital and clinics in Haiti and needs help paying the salaries of their nurses. If we can raise $7,000, we can pay the salary for one nurse for a year. If we can raise $14,000, we can pay the salaries of two nurses for a year, and so on. Please join me and the other committee members in supporting this fabulous organization. And last but certainly not least, we will spend the next 6 weeks in worship considering what the Lord requires of us. When Lent is over, we'll know a lot more about justice, mercy, and humility. Now let's get started. So if you'll join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the prophet Micah. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised up above the hills. Peoples shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, please feel free to come down. Bring your parents if you'd like. It's perfectly all right. I know most of you are here pretty much every week, and you probably have noticed that we're wearing black robes today, those of us up here. And we have purple in our stoles, and there's purple all up here for the altar cloths. That's because we started a new season, a new time in the church. It's called Lent. And Lent consists of the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. That doesn't include Sundays, however. These are all Sundays in Lent because Sundays are always days of celebration. But during Lent, sometimes we need to be reminded of things. Do you ever forget things? I forget them all the time. In fact, our daughters, Sarah and Lizzie, used to call me Forgetful Jones, who was a character on Sesame Street at that time. I've always been a little absent-minded. I'll start to think about one thing and forget about three others. So I need reminders. Sometimes it's a list. Sometimes it's a note that I stick up somewhere. These colors are reminders that during this season, we're supposed to be thinking about what God wants us to do. Now, there are other ways to remind ourselves. Some people, for example, give up something in order to remind them to remember what God wants us to do. They might give up sweets, candy. They might give up television. They might give up saying mean things to their brothers or sisters. Yeah, believe it or not. Other people take on things. For example, they might decide that they will read a certain book every morning for a devotional time. Or they might take on a project where they would help someone, their parents or a neighbor or someone else. And they would do that all through Lent. Now, we don't do that to just be doing it. We do those things to remind us that we're supposed to be thinking this whole season about what God wants us to do. And in the reading you just heard Kathy read from the prophet Micah, he says there are really three things that God really, really, really wants us to do. To do justice, which for Micah means everybody has that what they need. To show kindness. We all like kindness, don't we, when it's shown toward us. And other people like it when it's shown toward them. And walk humbly with God, which really just means remember that everywhere you go, you walk with God. And we need God's help, and we need each other's help to get through this. So if you can remember those three things during Lent, maybe every time you see the black robes or every time you see the purple, or maybe you have something else you're doing this Lent, you can remember what God really, really, really wants us to do. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us reminders. We need them. Thank you for showing us what we really need to do because you've loved us first. And help us to do those things, to be just and kind and humble. With your help, we believe we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. When you hear the word requirement, I'm not sure where it takes you, but it takes me back to class. What are the requirements for the class? There may be optional things, but there are certain things that are required if you're going to pass, and you need to know those things, right? So as you do what's required in class, you earn a grade, or you earn at least passing the course. The word requirement here in Micah, though, has a little different cast to it. The word in Hebrew is darash, which means to go in search of, to yearn for, to long for. It's the same word we get midrash from, the Jewish process of entering into the world of Scripture and coming back with stories and proverbs and such as that. So we might not think of these requirements that Micah lists as things that earn God's favor, but rather they're responses to the fact that God has already loved us. And as people who have been loved and who have been told that we are loved, these are our responses. This is God's deepest longing for us, God's darash, God's desire for us and for the world. And what is that desire for the world? Well, the very first part of the passage you heard Kathy read outlines it pretty well. The weapons of war will be turned into weapons of agriculture. The things that have been used for destruction will now become things that are used to create and to nourish and to grow. That's God's vision for the world. And this requirement, this yearning, invites us to be a part of that vision of what God is doing in the world already. Now, the three things that Micah lists might need a little recontexting, too. First of all, justice. Here, he's not necessarily talking about a court system or punishing the guilty or acquitting the innocent. Although he certainly has some harsh words to say for those he thinks are guilty. Rather, justice in Micah's terms means that everyone has what they need. Everyone has a place to stay that's warm and inside, food to eat that's nourishing and healthy, medical care when they need it, clothing to wear, clothing that's warm enough that they won't freeze in the kind of weather we've been having this past week. All the necessities of life will be shared with everyone. That's justice in Micah's understanding. Because you see, Micah was a country boy who came to the city. And what he saw in the city that was that the rich and the powerful, because they were rich and powerful, influenced the rulers so that they could become more rich and powerful at the expense of the poor. And what Micah said is, this is an injustice. This is not justice the way God sees it. And so Micah calls those of us who are privileged to share those privileges. The poor have no lobbyists. The rich and the powerful can hire folks to represent their interests, but the poor have only one lobbyist, and that is God, or God's people taking part in what God is doing. They have an advocate, a voice for those who are voiceless. That's justice, according to Micah's understanding. Kindness. This is an interesting word. It occurs throughout the Hebrew Bible. It's chesed. It's usually associated with God's love. We often translate it loving kindness. It is mercy. It is compassion. It is a step beyond justice. Justice means that everyone will have what they need in life. Loving kindness, or chesed, means that everyone will know that they are loved and cared for in this world. Mother Teresa, when she left the safety of her convent to go into the streets of Calcutta, did not go there to convert people. She went to simply sit with the dying because she believed that no one should die without knowing that someone cares for them, that someone loves them, to simply be present. So God's yearning for us, our response to God's love, is first of all to be sure that everyone is provided for, the basics of life. And then the next step is to make sure everyone knows they're not alone in this world, that there is a God who loves them, and that we as God's people will step up to be with them. And especially those who have been left out, pushed to the margins. And then to walk humbly. Interesting, very active verb, walk. It doesn't say to feel humble. It says to walk humbly. And humility has kind of gotten twisted in our day and time to mean a sort of subservience and putting oneself down. And unfortunately, those of us who are in a privileged position often preach humility to people who are already in a subservient position, which is completely inappropriate. No, humility in Micah's understanding might be better defined as the Buddhist concept mindfulness, to walk mindfully with God of the fact that we are not God, but we depend upon God and upon each other in every aspect of our lives. That's what humility is about, to recognize our dependence on God, our dependence on each other, and to walk in a way that allows us to offer the support that others need so they can depend on us as well. So how do we respond to God's love, God's great love? Well, we seek justice, that everybody might be provided for. We offer kindness, that everybody might know that they are loved. And we walk humbly with God, recognizing our limitations, our dependence on others, and offering for others to depend on us. As Kathy said earlier, this whole season of Lent, we're going to be looking at opportunities for us to do that. She mentioned the Legacy Campaign. Last year we had a very successful capital campaign. It will allow us to keep this building in good shape. But you know, that would be completely useless if this building did not serve as the place where we trained and prepared to go out into the world and do justice and show kindness and walk humbly with God. And so this year, what we're trying to do is, and this is a clunky word, I'm sorry I don't have a better word, is to have a human capital campaign so that we share our human capital, our time, which is very valuable, I know, our skills, our longings, our interests, to coordinate those with what God is longing for in the world. And so throughout Lent, you will be hearing opportunities and seeing opportunities in which you can do that very thing. Every week in the bulletin insert, you'll see different opportunities listed. Now, some of you do this already. Some of you are wonderful examples of this. Many of us may not know that because you do it without any fanfare. You do it simply as a course of your life. You do it because that's what followers of Jesus do. Our desire would be that each of us would find that way that we could do justice, offer kindness, walk humbly with God. And then during the Easter season, we'll be asking for your concrete commitments about how you're going to do that and live that out. Any of you who know me know that my favorite book of all time is To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. And when I read it as a teenager, I immediately knew that I wanted to grow up to be Atticus Finch. That didn't mean I wanted to grow up to be an attorney, necessarily. It wasn't a professional thing. I wanted to grow up to be the kind of man that Atticus Finch was in the book. Atticus Finch, you know this, I'm sure, because you were required to read it. Atticus Finch was asked to take on a case of an African-American man who was accused of sexual assault on a white woman. He could have said no, but he didn't. My guess is the judge offered him that case because he knew the kind of man he was. He took it in part because he believed that everyone deserved the best representation possible. And he was going to give the best representation possible. As the trial is prepared for and progresses, his daughter Scout gets into fights at school because some of her classmates call her very, very ugly things and call her father very ugly names. And she comes home and she asks him. She said, "Are we what they call us?" And he tells her, "No." He said, "We just are people who believe that everybody deserves to be represented and that I am defending a Negro." She said, "Will you win the case?" He says, "No. No, we won't win that case." And she asked the only logical question, why in the world would you take it on? Why would you take on a case that leads your neighbors to call you ugly names, leads your children to be abused at school? Why would you do that? And he tells her, "If I didn't, I couldn't hold up my head as I walked through town. I couldn't represent the people of Macomb in the state legislature. And I couldn't tell your brother Jim and you not to do something. He would have lost all moral authority had he not chosen to do the right thing for the right reason." As you recall, he does lose the case. And one of my favorite scenes from the film, and this is one of the few films, I believe, that is equal to the book in its quality, in part because a man named Horton Foote wrote the screenplay. At the end of the trial, after Atticus is lost, he is gathering his things, and everyone on the ground floor of the courtroom is gone but him. But the balcony is still full, and the balcony is where the African-American population are required to sit. And it's still full. And with them are Jem and Scout, Atticus's two children. And as he prepares to walk out of the courtroom, one by one, all the African-American folks in the balcony begin to stand, until they're all standing except Jem and Scout. They've been sitting with the pastor up there, and the pastor leans down to Scout and he says, "Miss Jean Louise, Miss Jean Louise, stand up." She said, "Why?" He said, "Your daddy is passing." I believe whenever we find those ways to do justice, to offer kindness, to walk humbly with God, that God stands up and says, "My children are passing." May it be so for us. There are many ways that we tell our story. And during this season, we have chosen an affirmation that comes from the World Methodist Council. It's the World Methodist Social Affirmation. You'll find it number 886 in your hymnal. I invite you to stand as you're able. It is responsive. I invite you to respond in the bold print. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe God,
we rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all gathered to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you will find a fresh baked treat for you. And please join us for some fellowship time following our worship service in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right. If you are a college student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to meet with our student community and eat lunch together in room 322, otherwise known as the Fireside Lounge. The students gather each week to have faith discussions and fellowship together. You are invited to take note of the gray card you find in the pew rack. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. If you would like to receive a call from a staff member about your comment, please check the box on the card and note your contact information. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests. Please indicate on the card if these requests are to be shared with the congregation or kept confidential. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in just a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know at the end of our worship service today. Today we offer our sympathy to the family of Emily Bivens Fuller, who died Friday, February the 13th. The services will be held in the sanctuary on Monday, tomorrow, February 23rd at 1 p.m. Visitation is in Reed Hall, beginning at 11 o'clock preceding the service. Among her survivors are her husband, Robin Fuller, and son, Byron Fuller. We also offer our sympathy to the family of Max Sladen and his family, who are mourning the death of his wife, Rhonda Borman, who died Sunday, February the 15th. The services were held here at West End on Thursday, February the 19th. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Steadfast God, we thank you for claiming us as a beloved people. Because of your great love and care for us, we trust you in our brightest joys and deepest needs. Hear our prayers, we ask, for the deep needs of this world. In places of violence and warfare, give us the courage to lay down the weapons of death and promote life and well-being instead. In places of drought, bring rains that make the earth colorful and vibrant again. In places where the waters overtake their boundaries, allow the overflowing chaos to recede. Loving God, in life and in death, we belong to you. And so in the midst of life, we entrust ourselves to your care. We are bold to ask for help when we are confused, lost, or afraid. We are eager to ask for healing for our bodies and minds, whether wounded, ill, or recovering. We are unceasing in our prayers for those we love who are far from us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And in the midst of death and grief, even though we are weary, we return again and again, praying for comfort. We desire to hear your voice of love, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to see you clearly. Lead us to serve others faithfully as disciples of Jesus Christ. And now we join our voices into one prayer, praying in the words Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. By doing acts of justice and compassion, and by sharing our resources, we bear witness to the good news of the gospel. As God's tithes and our offerings are received, we do so in gratitude for God's blessings to us.
I'd like to invite the congregation to be seated. The Holy Spirit has pulled together a wonderful group of new members to be presented to the church this morning. If you guys will make your way to the front. Y'all can line up starting there in the middle and coming over. Well, we'll start with John and Elizabeth McGuire and their son, what's his name? Liam, that's right, for William. John and Elizabeth are coming from Charleston, South Carolina. Elizabeth grew up in the Nashville area. John has his own real estate appraisal company, and coincidentally, Elizabeth is a realtor. So we're glad that they're joining with us today. Next, we have Todd and Julia Whitaker over here. Todd is joining through professional faith, and Julia is transferring from Buncombe Street United Methodist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. She's a Vanderbilt undergraduate and has been here for quite a while, so we're glad she's joining. She is an engineer with Smith, Seckman, and Reed, and Todd's with KPMG. So we welcome you this morning. Next, we have David Reichert. Where's David? There he is. David is coming from the Nazarene tradition, and he works with Middle Tennessee Mental Health Institute, and he is very active in the drama ministries along with other areas. He had a wonderful lead in Michael's play, The Gleaner Song, last spring, I believe. I was his co-star, by the way. Next, we have Michael Murray. Where's Michael's over here, the handsome man with the beard. Michael is coming from the Catholic tradition. He and his wife, Sarah, are very active in the Foundations class. He is from Kalamazoo, Michigan, where he's coming from St. Catherine's Catholic Church, and he went to Michigan State in that ugly green color that they have. Next, we have Colin Prince. Where's Colin? And Whitney Thompson. Colin's with Merrill Lynch, and Whitney's with Service Source. They're an engaged couple, and they're both coming from United Methodist Churches in West Tennessee. We welcome both of you. And then we have another engaged couple. We have Chester Yeager and Katie Ostranger. Katie is an attorney with Baker Donaldson, and Chester is in real estate development with Bristol Development, and they're both coming from other Christian denominations. Then, last but not least, we have Hannah and Daniel Page. Daniel, self-employed, doing digital media production, which we have a wonderful need for here if you're looking for some free time to fill. And Hannah is with Performance Studios. And they're both very active in the drama community in Nashville and here at West End. Hannah is transferring from Donaldson Fellowship. So if everyone will face me, I have one question for those coming from other traditions. Todd, David, Chester, Katie, Hannah, and Daniel. You are already members of Christ Universal Church, so I ask you now, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. Great. Now, this is for everyone. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, a congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries? By your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, so that in all things God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. If you will, say, I will. Great. Will the congregation now please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters, I ask you to welcome our newest members and do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you and welcome you to Christian love as members of West End United Methodist Church. As members together in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And everything, God give you glory.
May the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may live as true disciples all of our lives.
Before you go, I hope you'll take an opportunity to meet our newest members in Reed Hall. They have gathered out there so you can greet them. And also a quick reminder for those who take advantage of our Sunny Day Caregiver Respite Program. If Metro Nashville schools are out, the Sunny Day program will not meet. Just a reminder. Now go forth to do justice, to act with kindness, to walk humbly with God, knowing that God, the author of all justice and love and kindness, Jesus Christ, who showed us God's justice and love and kindness by walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow in his way, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.